Romans chapter 7. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 14 through 25. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. A section of scripture that's really kind of interesting. If you read through it, it's a tongue-twisting section, as you'll see as we begin to read it in a moment. But it's a helpful section if you understand what it's talking about. When I was a teenager, we used to play a game called Capture the Flag. Any of you ever played Capture the Flag? Yeah, a couple of you have. Capture the Flag is a great game. It's a game you have to have a bunch of people play, and then you get out in the field or in the woods, and you divide it up into teams, and you put a dividing line down the middle of the big field that's probably not necessarily a rope or anything, but you all know where the dividing line is. And the two teams, and you have to go and try to sneak across the line, get over to the other side and capture their flag and get it back on your side without getting caught. And it's a military type of a game that takes a lot of strategy. It takes, you got to be careful as far as sneaking up and not getting caught and being fast and a lot of the things that deal with military type of things. It's a great game to play, but you do have to have quite a few people to play it. But in order to win the game, you have to be careful that you know who your enemy is and who your allies are, or your friends, all right? The allies are your friends. All right, so you need to know who's on your team. You also need to know where the danger areas are, you know, where there's lots of people. You see out there where there's lots of people guarding. You obviously don't run through that area because there's too many people there. You also need to know a plan. You have to have a plan, and then you need to work your plan. What are we going to do? How are we going to get across to get to their flag and get it and back on our side without getting caught? So there has to be a plan. You know, as we think about these military plans of this game called Capture the Flag, it's a lot like what we see here in our scripture this morning. God's talking to us here about a spiritual conflict. Spiritual conflict. And we all go through spiritual conflicts. And those spiritual conflicts are battles that we face day by day with sin. And as we face these things, there are certain things we need to know, just like in a military strategy, you need to know how to deal with these things. And in the spiritual conflict, we need to know how to deal with these issues in order to be able to be victorious. And so this morning, it's very important we understand what's taking place. Now, just a bit of a backup and review. Chapter 6 of Romans, he told us there, Paul was telling us there that God has set us free from the bondage of sin. We are free from sin. We have, if we know Christ as our Savior, you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have your spirit that used to be in unity with your old sinful nature is now broken from that. You are crucified with Christ. We're set free from that. And we are able to be victorious. So in chapter 6, he basically tells us you're able to be victorious over sin if you will do what is right and follow God's plan. And then in chapter 7, we saw in the first part of the chapter of how that there is still that conflict there with our sin nature. And now in the latter part of chapter 7, as we finish this up, we look at this spiritual conflict. And so let's begin. Let's take a look at beginning with verse number 14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is not it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." kind of a tongue-twisting, mind-twisting section of Scripture. But let's make some sense out of it here. As we look at this, first of all, the first strategy we need to take is we need to know who our enemies and allies are. We need to know our enemies and allies. All right, by enemies, we know what that means. Those that are against us. Our allies are those that are for us. And we need to know who they are and be able to identify them. So look at this. We find, first of all, our enemies. Our main enemy we find in this section is our indwelling sin. Our indwelling sin. Look at verse 17. He says, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Then also down in verse number 20, he says the same thing. In the latter part, he says that, "But sin that dwelleth in me." It is the indwelling sin that is our enemy. It's our enemy. It is against us. It is conflicting with us. And we inherited this sin nature from Adam. We inherited it from Adam. That's where we got our sin nature, way back in the very beginning when God created Adam and Adam sinned against God. And we've inherited a sin nature from him. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So we inherited our sin nature from Adam. And that sin nature is still with us. Now, we saw back in chapter 6 that Christ saved us from the power of sin, and we're able then to say no to sin. We have that ability now because Christ lives in us if we know Him as our Savior. We do have that ability to say no, but we don't always do that. So there's that ability there through Christ. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye may that you should obey it in the lust thereof. However, Christ has not yet redeemed us from the presence of sin. Sin's all around us. We still have that sin nature. We still have sin bothering us on a regular basis because sin has not left us. That won't happen until the Lord redeems us and takes us to heaven. So once He takes us to heaven, the sin nature will be gone, the sin desire will be gone, the sin temptations will be gone, and we will be free from that. But until then, we're stuck in our sinful body. And that poses a problem. While we're in our physical bodies, this sinful nature will always be present with us. Verse 21, look at there. He says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Evil's present with me. You know, we struggle with that. Evil being present with us. Right here with us, in us, giving us trouble. So our first enemy is our indwelling sin nature. Our second enemy is our carnal flesh. Look at verse number 14. Verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." I am carnal, sold under sin. The word carnal there is often translated in the Bible as fleshly. Carnal or fleshly. He says that we are carnal, we are fleshly. And he says we're sold under sin. The grammar of that word is interesting because it literally says we have been sold under sin. It took place long ago when we were not yet born. In Adam, we died with Adam, and we're sold under sin, and the result of it is still present today. We still have that sin problem, and our carnal flesh is still a problem to us, and the result then is still with us. Now, our carnal flesh is also referred to as our old sin nature. That's in us. We have that old sin nature, and we're not going to get rid of it. Constable, in his notes, put it this way. He says, "Sin still has a strong attraction for us, since our basic human nature is still sinful, and we keep that nature throughout our lifetime." You know, wouldn't it be great if we could get rid of our sin nature? That's one of the greatest things I'm looking forward to for going to heaven. Now, I know we want to see the Lord, but one of the greatest things I'm looking forward to is get rid of this sin nature. So that there's no more desire for evil. But we have our sin nature, and we have indwelling sin that is constantly with us, plaguing us, getting us to do wrong and evil. We have another enemy, or enemies, that aren't actually named in this text, but they're behind a lot of this problem. That's the devil and the demons. You know, sometimes people think, devil and demons? Oh, that's just fairy tale. No, it's not fairy tale, it's real. The Bible tells us very clearly that there is a devil and there is demons and they're against us and causing us grief. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He is out there to get us, to devour us, to defeat us, to hurt us, to trip us up. Also, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12 is the section where it talks about our spiritual armor. And verse number 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our enemy is the devil and the demons. And they are behind all of the evil in our lives. And they are promoting the evil in our sin nature, and the evil in the sinful desires of our heart. And we can't blame all of it on them. Perhaps we have a sin nature that does what we want to do. So our enemies are, we know our enemies. First of all, the enemy is indwelling sin. Second enemy is the carnal flesh. The third enemies are the devil and the demons. All right, they're against us. They're hurting us and helping. Now, who are our allies or our friends? Who are on our side? Who's our allies? Well, first of all, our first ally is the law of God. We saw last week how the law of God was good. It's not bad, it's good. It's on our side, it's for our help. It's to help us and encourage us. So the law of God is good. We see in verse number 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." The law is spiritual. That means it is for our benefit, it is our help. It is spiritual in helping us to do what is right. It's our friend. It identifies wrong. It guides us into truth. It reveals the mind of God on issues of life. You know, we need the law of God. God's law is there for our help. And we spent a lot of time last week looking at that, how the law was our friend and our help and showing us what was right and what is wrong. If we didn't know what was right and wrong, we'd have a very confusing time in life. All right? And it's the same thing in everything in life. You know, even the road signs. If there were no road signs and they had laws, but, you know, you were just supposed to have them all in your head, but they didn't have any signs up there, you know, we'd forget. You're driving along, "Well, I can't remember, is this a 70 or is this a 90? I don't remember, I'll try 90. You know, And we'd have problems, but those signs are there to remind us. And so it is, God's law is there to remind us what is right and what is wrong so that we'll do what is right. Now, first ally, the law of God. The second ally is our new nature. Look at verse number 22. Paul said, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." The inward man, our new nature, that inward man, that new nature that is in us. And he says that is something we get at the moment we trusted Christ. We saw that back in chapter 6. The moment you trust Christ, your Savior, you die to sin and you get a new nature, and the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And so that new nature is it's our ally. And it's our friend and our help in battles against sin. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." He has made us new if we trust Christ our Savior. So that's why if you look at your life and you say, "Well, I don't see much new in my life and I keep doing the same things I always do," something's wrong. Because God tells us very clearly, if we truly know Jesus, we will have a new life. There will be a new life in Christ. Now, as we study through this passage here, it's important for us to understand the words "I" and "me" and "mine" refer to the new spirit or the new nature. They refer to the new nature. And if you understand that, it'll help you to better understand what Paul's talking about. Because sometimes it sounds like he's almost contradicting himself. But he's not if we understand who our allies are and who our enemies are. Now, the third ally, again, not mentioned in the text directly, but it is the Holy Spirit of God. We learned back in chapter 6 that we get a new nature and the Spirit of God dwells in us and He lives in us. And if you are a Christian, if you truly know Jesus as your Savior, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. God Himself lives in you to help you to do what is right. And that is a huge blessing. And so this is another ally that we have. So we've looked at our enemies and our allies. Important for us to understand this. Without understanding this, we won't be able to understand the section and the text before us. So our enemies are indwelling sin, our sin nature, and the devil and the demons. Our allies are the law of God and our new spirit and the Holy Spirit living in us. Those are our allies. All right, now with that in mind, the second thing I want us to note here is we must know that where the battle takes place. Where is the battle going to take place? You know, if you're out on a battlefield or even playing this game, Capture the Flag, you've got to look out there and say, I know, where are the enemies? All right, there's a whole bunch of them over here. I can see them over there on the hillside. I don't want to go that way. I'm going to go this way where there's not anybody. I don't see anybody over here. I'll sneak around this way and see if I can get through. That's the way it is. So it is in life. You need to know where the battle is going to take place. God tells us here where the battle takes place. He tells us, first of all, that the battle is in our bodies. Look at verse number 24. Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, the problem is in his body. In our body. And all of us know that that's true. It's in this body where we have problems with sin. And if you're a Christian, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to God. And the Spirit of God lives in your body. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Verses 19 and 20, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." They belong to God. So if you know Christ your Savior, you don't belong to you anymore. You lost control of your body. God is in control of your body. It doesn't belong to you. You can't make choices that are contrary to Him without displeasing Him, because it belongs to Him now. It's not yours. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I can do what I want. It's my body." No, it's not your body. It's God's body if you know Jesus is your Savior. And so it's important for us to understand that in order to help us to be able to win this battle. Now, our sin nature does not like sharing a body with the Holy Spirit. They get fights all the time. In Galatians chapter 5, we saw that in verses 16 and 17, where he says that they're ones against the other and the others against the other. They're fighting constantly. And there's a conflict there between the Spirit of God living in me and the old fleshly sinful nature that's in me. They don't get along. And so it is with you if you know Christ your Savior. The sin nature wants to pollute your body. The Spirit of God wants to keep it clean. And so there's a conflict there. A conflict. So that's where it starts, but then he gets and he narrows it down a little bit further. Not only does he say, all right, the battle's over here in your body, but now he tells us more specifically, he says it's in our members. And we see that he, let me see, I didn't identify the verse there where it mentioned the members. 23, thank you. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. All right, the members. The members of my body. A few weeks ago we talked about the members of our body, and we said that the members of our body are our body parts. All right, particularly our hands, our feet, our ears, our eyes, and our mouth, and our mind. Those body parts are the ones that Satan uses to fulfill his accomplishments. You stop and think about it. You know, you don't sin with your spleen. You know, say, "Oh, my spleen made me sin today." No, it's not your spleen that does anything. Or it's not your belly. It's your hands or your eyes or your mind or your ears or your feet. Or something, a part of your body that gets you into trouble. So those are our members. And he says it's our members that the trouble comes and causes us grief. And it gives us all kinds of problems. And sin works in our members. Now the main member that he mentions in this text that he's working in is our mind. Our mind. Our mind is one of our members that is most involved in sin. You stop and think about it with me. We think lustful thoughts. Mind. Alright? Wrong thoughts go through our mind. Alright? Also, we think ways of getting even. Somebody hurts you, does something you don't like, I'll get even with them. Where does that come from? The mind. Alright? Again, it's in the mind. Now, it will be, use other body parts as well to fulfill it, but then also our thoughts make us angry. Why are you angry? Well, it starts in your mind. If your mind wasn't angry, you wouldn't be angry. Alright? And so, our mind again. And our mind swells with pride when we've done something we think is really great. I'm the greatest. You know, I'm the greatest. And our mind swells with pride. And then also we struggle with our mind when we meditate upon evil plans. You know, you can't think about something that's not good, whatever the evil may be. You can't do that without using your mind. And so he mentions here our mind as a primary place where sin attacks. The devil will attack. Our sin nature attacks our mind, uses our mind to get us to do wrong. And so our mind is one of those places where the problem is. Now, we must guard our mind. Guard our mind. And our heart and our mind are closely knit. I wouldn't say they're the same thing. This morning I was meditating upon that as I was going on a walk. And I was thinking, you know, our heart. God, how can I clean my heart? He says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. He says it all comes from the heart. Well, how do I clean my heart? As I got to thinking about that, my heart isn't necessarily just my mind. My mind is like the database, the storage place. It's also a processing place, that's true. But it's our heart, the heart part of our mind or our body, that is the part where we're comprehending something, we're dwelling on something, we're thinking about something, we're planning something. So our heart and our mind are connected, but it's in our heart where we're planning things. And so he says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Now we can have a clean heart by just refusing to let those things come to our mind and refusing to think on those, refusing to do those things, refusing to let our mind focus on evil. We may not be able to empty the database, but we can stop what we're contemplating and dwelling on. And so we need to be careful with our mind. The book of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says that keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart, our mind, those things work together. He says, keep it, guard it, protect it with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Everything that happens in your life will come through your heart and your mind. They go through you and they come out through that. They're planned in our mind and our heart and they come out of our life. And so evil works in our heart, in our mind. Now, let's look at some of the examples. And we've already read these, but let's look at them and I'll comment and try to make some understanding on it. Verse number 15, he says, for what that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. He says, this is what I'm supposed to do, but I end up doing the other. And this is what I hate, but I end up doing it anyway. All right, there's a conflict there. And sin's working in us to get us to do that. Verse number 17, he says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Ah, you say, all right, it's not me. Sin did it. It's not my fault. I'll blame it on sin. All right, but what's he talking about here? What he's talking about, remember what I said I was? Who's I? Our ally, it's our indwelling new nature. That indwelling new nature, what he's saying is the indwelling new nature is holy and pure and godly because it is cleaned up by God. So it's not the new nature that is saying, let's go sin. It's the sin nature in me that is saying, let's go sin. All right? So it's not I. It's not my new nature. It's my old nature. And so he's not passing the buck. He's not trying to say, well, don't blame me. It's my old nature. No, he's simply saying it's not my new nature part of me that is involved in sin. It's my old nature part of me that's involved in sin. The problem still exists, but he's setting us clear on that. Then in verse number 18, he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good I find not. He says, I have a desire, a will, that says I want to do right. But I just can't figure out how to do it. Every time I try to do right, I end up doing wrong. And I try not to do wrong, and I end up doing it anyway. And so there's a problem, a conflict, because sin is working in us. And then one more example he gives in verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. He's just repeating it again. He says, the thing I want to do, I just don't do it. And the thing I don't want to do, I do it every time. Maybe not every time, but I fall on my face a lot of times. So there's a problem. Paul was frustrated. Can you sense the frustration in his heart? He's saying, I'm frustrated that there's a pull, the powerful pull of sin to get me to do evil. And my heart wants to do right, but it pulls me to do evil. And there's that conflict in him, that frustration. And you know, can you relate to that? We face the same things today. We want to do right, but we do wrong. We hate sin, but we do it anyway. There's a battle in us. Our new man wants to please God, but our old sinful nature works overtime to get us to do wrong. So there's a conflict taking place in us, pulling, tug of war in our hearts all the time. And great frustration. So we need to know where the battle takes place. The battle takes place in our body, but particularly in our members. In our hands, our ears, our eyes, our mouths, our feet, our mind. It takes place in our members because those are the things that Satan uses to fulfill his evil desires in our lives. So there's a conflict. So we've seen, first of all, that we need to know our enemies and our allies, the indwelling sin, our sin nature, and the devil and the demons are our enemies. Our allies, our friends, are God's law, the new nature, and the Holy Spirit. And then the battle takes place in our body, and particularly in our members, the parts of our body. Now we need to know God's battle plan, and then we need to follow it. Just like in the game Capture the Flag, we had to have a plan. Usually what would happen in the game is there'd be two or three of us guys that were a little bit more energetic and determined than a lot of the others. Some of them would just kind of sit back and they were all afraid to even cross the line for fear they'd get caught. Some of us would get together and say, all right, let's have a plan. All right, you go this way, I'll go this way, and you go up the middle, and we'll try to get around there, and if I grab it, we'll distract them, and we've got a plan, and you got to make your plan and then work your plan. So it is in our lives, if we're going to be victorious, we've got to have a plan. Not our plan, but we need to know God's plan for doing what is right and being victorious. God's plan requires, first of all, that we admit our weakness. Admit our weakness. Paul was frustrated with his inability to defeat his enemy, and we are no stronger than Paul. He was a great preacher. And he was a man that just, and when I read about what some of the things he says, I think, awesome man he was. And strong for the Lord. And yet he said, I struggle. I'm having a problem. It's hard. I'm struggling and I keep doing wrong. And sin, we cannot defeat on our own. We cannot overcome evil on our own. It's impossible to do that on our own. We do not have the ability. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Remember what he said there in Ephesians. Is we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting against the demons and the devils of this wicked world. We cannot be victorious in our own strength. The reason we fail is we try to defeat sin in our own power. Can't do it. You know, resolutions are not the answer. You can say, well, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I've determined not going to do that anymore. Well, that'll last for a day, and then you'll be back at it again. Resolutions aren't the answer. Promises and determinations are not enough. It's not enough to just say, I'm just not going to, I promise, I'm not going to do it. God, I promise, I'll never do that again. We've probably all been there and done that, and then we've got to go back to Him and say, well, I did it again. I'm sorry, God. We blew it. All right. So promises and determination is not the answer. Paul comes to the climax here in verse number 24. And what's he say? He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I am a wretched man. I am miserable. I am afflicted. I am helpless. I cannot solve my problems. In my own strength, I can't do it. Now, he says we have the ability. God said He set us free from sin in chapter 6. So there's the capability there, but in our own strength, we cannot fulfill the capability that God has made an open door for. We can't do it. And we will not have victory over sin until we see our total inability and humbly admit that we cannot be victorious in our own efforts. It's not until we come to the place where we say, God, I can't. I am unable to do this. I have to have your help. I have no ability to defeat sin. I have no ability to defeat this problem in my life, this habit, this problem, this tongue of mine, or this mind of mine, or this heart of mine. I can't do it, God. And we fall on our face before God and say, God, I need you. I can't do it. We see the same thing in the book of James. You're quick at flipping over there. Flip over with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Here in James chapter 4, there's a conflict. And James mentions a very similar situation. Chapter 4 of James in verse number 1, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and ye cannot, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive it not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulteresses and adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." What is he saying here? He's saying that in verses 1 to 3 that we are acting like the world. When we act like the world and we try to face the issues like the world and we try to conquer sin like the world and say, "I'll just determine I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to be tough." And we just buckle down, we say, "I'm going to do it," and we follow the world's way, or we get involved in the things of the world, as he's mentioning here in James. He says we become spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. He's not talking about physical adultery here. He's talking about spiritual adultery. He said when we follow the ways of the world and we live like the world, we become spiritual adulterers and adulteresses, turning our back on God. And even though we may be believers in God, we may be Christians, we live like an adulterer, one who's cheating on God and doing our thing, our own way, instead of depending wholly on God and being faithful and loyal to God. But then notice what I brought you here for in verses 5 and 6. He says, "Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy?" He's saying here, the spirit that dwells in you, he does not like the way you're living. It upsets him. It hurts him. He's jealous about it. And then verse 6, he says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." You want victory over sin? You've got to humble yourself. We've got to come to the place where we say, "I can't do it." And he says here, if you will humble yourself, God will give you grace. Now, what is grace? That's divine help. He will help you to be victorious. He will give you that divine grace if you will humble yourself and fall on your face before God and say, "God, I can't do it." And he says he resists the proud, fights against us. You be proud and say, "Well, I think I can handle it myself. I'm going to just get victory over this. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to be tough." Well, you'll fall on your face because God says he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And we need His grace. So back to Romans chapter 7. The first thing we need to do as we understand God's battle plan is God wants us to admit our weakness. And Paul here admitted his weakness in verse 24. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? I can't do it. I am wretched, I'm miserable, I'm afflicted, I got problems and I can't solve them." And then he says in verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's the answer. Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus is the answer. He is the one that can give us the victory. He's the one that will give us grace. He's the one that will give us power. He's the one that will give us the ability to be able to defeat sin and do right and walk with God and please God. It is Jesus that gives us the answer. Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Put on Christ. Christ is the answer. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong in yourself? No, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. 1 John 4, 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is He that is in you. God lives in you if you are a Christian. God lives in you. And greater is He that is in you than the devil and the demons and all the forces of evil that are in this world. He is greater and able to defeat them. Jeremiah 32, 17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Nothing too hard for Thee. Jeremiah 32, 17. Then one other verse in Psalm 139, verses 9 and 10. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the earth, uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. God wants to hold you. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to direct you. He wants to give you the grace. But you need to depend upon Him. When I was a child, I remember many times growing up on the farm, and we had a wooded area behind our house, and I feared going back in the woods at night by myself. But you know, I remember many times walking back in the woods with Dad, and as long as I was holding on Dad's hand, I had no fear at all. It was gone. No fear. Because Dad will protect me. Now, there wasn't anything back there to be afraid of, but my little childhood mind would think of all kinds of things, you know. And I'd be afraid of anything that looked like scary. But holding Dad's hand, no fear. And so it is in a Christian life. If we're trying to do it alone, we will be fearful. We will fall on our face. We will be failures. But when we're holding God's hand, we can be safe and secure and know that it's all well. And we will be victorious. And we will be what God wants us to be. But we've got to have our hands in His hand and stay close to Him, as He says there in Psalm 139:10. And then Paul said, I thank God. I thank God. Paul was thankful. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful, just like Paul was thankful, that there is a solution. We're not left to ourselves to defeat sin. If we were left to ourselves to defeat sin, every single one of us would fall flat on our face every day. Because we cannot do it ourselves. And you know, you may be struggling. Maybe you've been falling on your face more than you've been walking straight. And you've been tripping and falling and doing things you know you shouldn't do. And you just say, I can't seem to get victory. Well, then you need to do what Paul did. He said, it's not in me. I can't do it. I'm afflicted. I'm defeated. But it's in Jesus Christ. And turn your eyes to Jesus Christ and realize that Jesus Christ can give us the victory in our Christian life. And then he closes the chapter by saying, so then, in my mind I serve the law of God. What was his mind? His new nature. He says, in my new nature, in my heart, my desire, I serve the law of God. I want to do what's right. But in my flesh, the law of sin. My flesh, my old nature wants to sin. So my flesh is against me. And my spirit is for me and for God. And so there's that conflict there. And he said the solution is in Christ. In Christ. You know, one of the reasons that Christians have so little victory is because they do not walk close to Christ. You know, walking close to Christ is not just coming to church Sunday morning. It is spending time with God. It is spending time with God every day. Reading the Scriptures. Asking God, teach me something from the Scriptures today. And I dare say in a group of this size, many of you this week never even opened this book all week long. And you say, well, I just don't understand why I can't have victory. Right there is the first answer. You need God's help. You need God's help. We've got to fall on our face and say, God, I can't. I'm a failure. But God, You can. Give me strength. Give me grace. Give me help. Give me encouragement. And so the Word of God, we need to open the Word of God and ask God, God, fill me and help me to understand it. You know, there may be some here today, I don't know your hearts, but there may be some here today that have never truly trusted Jesus as your Savior. You cannot look at a time in your life where you said, I remember the day that God so convicted my heart and smote me with conviction and said, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. And I realized I was lost and I cried out to God and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I saved my soul. And if you can't look back to a time when you cried out to God for Him to save you, that's probably the reason you're having so many problems in your life and conflicts and lack of victory. Because without Jesus, you're on your own. You've got no allies. Who are our allies? The new Spirit? You don't have that. The Holy Spirit? You don't have that. You know, the law of God? Well, that's kind of your enemy because all it's doing is showing you that you've been doing wrong. So you don't have any allies. You're all on your own. No wonder you fall flat on your face. You know, if you are struggling and daily falling flat on your face, one of the first things you need to look at is, am I truly a Christian? Do I really know Christ? And if you don't know for sure, come see me. I'd be delighted to sit down and just open the Bible and show you how simple it is to make sure that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Nothing more important than that. That's where it has to begin. So we need to know Jesus. And then once we know Christ, we need to spend time with Him every day. Meditate upon the Word. Talk to Him in prayer. Spend time focusing on Him and loving Him and letting Him take control of our life. That's the key to victory. So this morning we've looked at our enemies. We saw that we have three enemies. Our old sin nature, sin that lives in us, and the devil and the demons. We've got three allies. If you know Jesus is your Savior, the law of God is on your side, and the new Spirit that is in you, and the Holy Spirit that lives in you. You've got three allies working for you. And then we looked at where the battle takes place. The battle takes place in the old wicked body we live in. In our mind particularly, the members of our body, but particularly our mind, a lot of the problems start here. And we start meditating on things we shouldn't think about. Or we do things we shouldn't do, and we store things in our mind. And we bring things into the database by looking at the internet, or looking at television, or looking at something else, or listening to something. We're filling the database with garbage. And then we say, well, I just don't understand why garbage is coming out. Well, it's probably because there's garbage in. You know, garbage in, garbage out. That's the only way it's going to work. You know, that's why we've got to keep our ears protected. We've got to keep our eyes protected so that we don't look at things and hear things that are filling our minds with garbage. Because if we do, then it's going to come out of our life and we're going to struggle with sin. Oh, how we need to see these things. And then the last one, have that battle plan in mind. God's battle plan, first of all, is to humble yourself and say, God, I can't. I can't. I am useless. I cannot defeat sin. But God, You are great. You're awesome. You can do it through me. You can work in me. Your grace is able to provide the strength to be the victor I need to be. And trust on Him and lean on Him. You can have the victory. So that's all. That's what this chapter is about. It lays it all out for us. And I hope you're able to understand what He's talking about here. This confusing passage can come to light and be a great help to us if we'll just understand these basic truths. So this morning, what do? Well, first of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're all by yourself. You need God's help. You need to make sure you're saved. You say, well, I've been religious for years. Religion's not salvation. Salvation is the time when you come face to face with Jesus and you admit your sin and ask Him to save your soul and give you eternal life. That's salvation. If you've never been there, never done that, or never sincerely done that, that's where you've got to begin. You'll never have victory until that's taken care of. Once you know Jesus, then you need to humble yourself, fall on your face before Him, and just say, Lord, I need You. I can't do it. I need You. I cannot do it. I'm depending on You, God. And daily, stay close to Him. Stay in the book. Stay on your knees. Spend time with God. Say, well, I don't have time. Make time. If you've got time to watch television, you've got time to spend time with God. If you've got time to look on the internet, you've got time to spend time with God. Make time to spend time with God. And grow. Draw close to God. And you will be able to experience the victory that you can have in Jesus Christ.